Hey, Orthopreneurs, it's Dr. Glenn Krieger here, and let me tell you, the Orthopreneurs 2024 Summit, which is going to be on a Royal Caribbean ship, has taken off. I don't mean literally, but we actually booked an entire ship just for us. We started selling it already, and believe it or not, it's selling out fast. People want to come by themselves. People want to bring their team. People want to bring their families. Remember, there's a kids club there, and there's also an adult-only pool. So you can watch the presentations streaming throughout the whole ship. Imagine sitting in the pool with a drink in your hand, watching someone speak on tips and tricks to help your practice get better while you're sitting knee-deep in a pool with a drink in your hand. Sounds pretty cool, right? Well, you've come to know the kind of meetings we put together, and this one's going to be even more exceptional and even more affordable. Go to opsummit2024.com to sign up now.
This is at the core of what Feed Forward is really all about, this shift from fear to joy, from a rating to a relationship, from accountability to agency, from just simply telling others what's wrong to driving home what's right, from weakness to strength. This is really, at the end of the day, the way that we unlock the potential that resides within everyone we work with. But most importantly, we unlock the value of those relationships.
This is the Orthopreneur Show with Glenn Krieger, talking about the things you never learned in school, like marketing, management, and leadership.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Orthopreneurs Podcast. Today, we have a returning champion, Joe Hirsch. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, Glenn.
Author, podcaster, lecturer, speaker, speaking at Summit at Sea this year.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Bring your Dramamine.
Oh, don't bring your Dramamine. Way to go, right there. You're going to get seasick. So bring your Dramamine.
Let me tell you something. I've been on stages all over the world, and I have to tell you, I've never been speaking from somewhere in the Atlantic, and it's going to be an amazing event. If you've been to Summit, and a lot of you listening have been to Glenn's event, this thing is going to blow your mind. It's going to be incredible. I'm so excited to be a part of it.
I'm excited to have you. And a couple of points of reference for everybody. Number one, the only reason you're going to need Dramamine is because he's going to spin your head around in 50 different ways.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, it's going to break your heart to know you're not going to be lecturing from the Atlantic because you're going to be leaving from Tampa, which means you're on the Gulf of Mexico.
So that's probably going to not gonna probably be able get my, I should probably get my bearings, right?
Yeah. But
this is why I don't captain this ship.
Yeah. You know? Although they did tell me when you take over an entire ship, you should know this. Everybody can hear this. You know, whenever you take over an entire ship, you go and you want to learn about the ship. So you go for a weekend ahead of time, sort of like a shakedown cruise, they call it. And it's a regular cruise that you just happen to be on. And as you walk around the ship, you go to every floor, every room, everything that can possibly be there during your cruise, because you want to make sure that people have a great time. And the one thing they would say over and over and over again would be, "Sir, it's your ship." So I would say, like, you know, Doug Shaw, who you know, my partner, you know, is like, "Can Doug make the morning announcements every morning? Hi, welcome to Cozumel. This is your ship director. Sir, it's your ship." And so every place we went, we'd ask them, "Can the casino be non-smoking?" They said, "Sir, it's," like, literally every single thing until I got to, "Can I drive the boat?" "Sir, you cannot drive the boat."
Yeah, but we're going to let you graduate first.
But here's the crazy part, because she did say it's your ship.
Okay.
I think I said to her, "What if I see that island we're supposed to come to and I go, I don't want to go there. I want to turn around and go the other direction." I believe she said I could do that too if I wanted to. So, like, think about that power. I may not be able to drive the ship, but I can put it wherever I want.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is going to be unbelievable. I can't wait. And yes, we are going to have the best time. I hope everyone who's listening is part of this. It's going to be fantastic.
And you know, the thing I say to people about what makes this particular summit, and I don't want this to be just a sales pitch for the summit, but since we're on the topic, what makes this particular summit unique compared to every summit before and every summit after is that I don't have anybody on stage lecturing who's an orthodontist. Every single person speaking is somebody from the broader business leadership management world who they will never see. Maybe with one exception, they will never see anybody on that stage ever again at any orthodontic or dental meeting. And the whole goal is to bring people in who are going to help stretch their mind in ways to live a more fulfilling life, not just their practice. It'll translate into their practices for sure, as we're going to go into here on the podcast. But the whole goal for everybody to sign up is so that you and your teams, who I hope you're bringing, because there's never been a less expensive summit than this one, that you live a better life, that your practice gets stronger, you make more money, you have lower stress, and you have better relationships with the people around you because of the things that you're going to learn at this summit. And so, sorry, Joe, for that preamble there.
And we're going to make feedback fearless.
Oh, we're going to make
feedback fearless. Yes,
sir. And so that's a great segue. You must have done this once or twice before.
You and I, we go back.
We do go back. And anybody who's interested, you know, you can go listen to, I think it's episode number 4 of the Orthopreneurs Podcast.
Oh, that's,
you know,
like, I've been doing this podcast
for a number of years. I think I have like 340 or 350 episodes. Episode 4 was you, if I'm not mistaken. And
it's,
I tell everybody, and I will say it here right now, I think it's around minute 14 is – and I don't mean to make you blush, but I'm being dead serious when I say this. Around, I think, minute 14 of the 4th podcast with Joe Hirsch is arguably the most must-listen-to segment of any podcast I've ever done with anybody. If you're a business owner, if you employ people, if you're a manager, if you're a director, orthodontist – at that moment, after we got through the whole talking about barbecue and all the other stuff and basics, which I think were important, you nailed about how do we handle giving proper feedback to people at that moment. And again, for those out there who don't know, you're the author of a great book called The Feedback Fix, right? Available, I assume, still through Amazon, right?
Anywhere books are sold.
Amazing book, where the term feed forward first came to me, because we can't change the past. So feedback doesn't help us as much as feed forward, which can help shape our futures. See, I listened.
You listened. That must've been at minute 13. And then, I'm going to go back and listen to minute 14 on that.
It was
show.
Great. I think it's 14, 11 or 14. I can't remember, but it's 14. It's pure unadulterated knowledge related to how to give effective feedback to your team. It was beautiful. And so let's just go back for a second before we jump forward. Let's go back a little bit and talk about, how did you end up where you are today? Tell people a little bit, who is Joe Hirsch and why should I listen to a word this guy has to say about things like feedback or feed forward?
Well, I was pretty bad at receiving it. And so I decided to get better at understanding why that was. And and by unpacking the literature, learning the science, the strategies, and ultimately developing the stories of people who fearlessly made that shift from looking back on a past they couldn't change to looking forward, looking out towards a future that they could, I began to realize that this isn't something that we should fear. And feedback is too often about the things that we fear, the fear of hearing things about ourselves we don't want to hear, the things about that make us feel like less of ourselves, not like more of ourselves, and moving the dial from fear to joy and discovering that this can actually be something that brings about a great sense of potential and possibility and not hopelessness and helplessness. And as I started to understand that a little more for myself, I wanted to share that with others. And now it's been about 5 years since this book is out in the open. It has thankfully made a big impact now with over 60 different companies, many of whom are on the Fortune 100, on 4 different continents around the world. And I'm so proud of the journey that people are taking from fear to joy and discovering that there is joy in uncovering this beautiful thing that we call potential. And that potential emerges when we come closer to who we are and not move farther from that.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And, you know, everything you talk about is founded in science. There's no, right? It's important because a lot of the people listening are orthodontists or dentists or people in healthcare who are raised on science, raised on not conjecture. You know, here's my idea. You followed, I think, the Deloitte executive training program around for a year, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So, you learned from the masters what worked and what didn't work. And while you were speaking, it just dawned upon me that, you know, I love getting feedback, right? I love being coached. I get much more personally out of being told what I did wrong than what I did right. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to hear what I did right. I want to hear what I did wrong so I can improve upon it. But I know that's not a characteristic that everybody shares, right? I've learned that over the years. And unfortunately, for most orthodontists who are listening, we work in a unique setup that is different than most out there, because the CEO, the CFO, the COO, the CTO, the orthodontist, is working side by side with the line worker, yep. right? So it's like the CEO of Chrysler has a desk that he has to work, or she has to work alongside the guy who's putting the brake pads on the car on the assembly line all day long.
Yeah.
And the difference, if you will, between where one educationally ended and one other educationally ended, and their ability to receive feedback throughout their lifetime, is so radically different that I think most orthodontists look at feedback to their team as a negative. You know, they don't want to receive it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to know. And that's when you were speaking. I'm curious to know, do we have that preconception because we've never been taught how to effectively do it in a way that makes them empowered?
I think that we model the feedback practices that have been handed down to us. And so for many people, to your point, the kind of feedback that they engage in with others is very much a relic of a time that no longer exists. This command and control mentality of a very centralized form of leadership simply doesn't work in many workplaces today, where they're decentralized, they're distributed, and ultimately there's much more democratization in those workplaces. They're flatter, there's much more connection, they're working across teams, credit is harder to define and assign. And so we have to be, I guess, a little more open to the idea that how we talk about success, how we define performance, and how we ultimately measure progress has changed, right? And we have to come in with different expectations. For orthodontists especially, and the example you gave is so apt, there has to be a rethinking about how feedback is shared and how it's not something that we do to another person, but something that we do for them.
Right.
And this act of service, feedback as service, this is at the core of what Feed Forward is really all about, this shift from fear to joy, from a rating to a relationship, from accountability to agency, from just simply telling others what's wrong to driving home what's right, from weakness to strength. This is really, at the end of the day, the way that we unlock the potential that resides within everyone we work with. But most importantly, we unlock the value of those relationships. And for the orthodontist who's working side by side or with a dental assistant, when you're in that kind of an environment and there is that hierarchical nature, right? Right. You have a different level of education, different level of experience than the person perhaps working beside you. But at the end of the day, you both have the same objective, and that is to serve the patient.
Right.
And so one way to shift these dynamics from fear to joy is to focus on sort of the larger purpose or the point of connection that binds both of you. One of the really interesting pieces of research that's out there around this idea of sort of purpose-driven feedback came when people started to take a look at the results of fundraisers at a public university whose record of fundraising wasn't so great. And so they decided to do an intervention with this one group. And instead of just having them make phone calls, you know, trying to elicit donations for the public university, for the students, they actually, the people who are making those calls, had a chance to meet some of the recipients of those funds. And just 5 minutes of interaction doubled the amount that these people raised. Wow. And it was simply because they knew what they were working for, who was receiving these funds, and how they were being served by them. And if we were to take the same approach in our orthodontic practices, you as the orthodontist, me as your assistant, we would understand that we're both trying to serve the same purpose here. And that's to bring smiles to our patients, to bring joy to people who may be self-conscious about how they smile or how they look in public. And they want that beautiful winning smile, and they can have it with our help. And if we focus on that, that point of connection, that purpose, that makes it so much easier to share that feedback because we're both working towards the same goal. And so one way to bring more joy to these conversations is to stay focused on the connection between both of us. We're working for the same goal, and by labeling that, naming it, and framing it, we can actually deliver on it.
I learned so much from you on that first podcast. And I know we're looking forward. We don't have a lot of time today, but I know we're looking forward. You've got a treat for us. It adds up to 9, 5, and 4. Yeah. But I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. You're going to give us 5 examples of where we fail.
Yeah.
And 4 tips on how to fix it.
Yeah. Right? So let's go to the fails first.
Before you go there, I just want to give you some more accolades. I want to put another feather in your cap and call it macaroni. You changed my life when we spoke about a crap sandwich, right? Because for those of you who've listened to the first podcast or read his book, Feedback Fix, right? There's crap sandwiches and there's wraps, and we won't get into the huge details right now, but the crap sandwich was something that we all do. And the people out there listening right now, right? It's, if I remember correctly, it's you take a nice, you know, you take your crap and you put it between 2 really nice compliments, right?
Yeah.
Which is what everybody does. Do you want to talk about this just for 60 seconds, if you don't mind? Because I think you changed my life. And now the worst part is when I see feedback being given in really high level places, when I see CEOs talking at big meetings or something, they all do crap sandwiches. Like they all do it. Like they're it's antiquated. But explain to people what that is. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So we rely on a praise sandwich. And as you noted, it goes by other names, some of which I don't think we can say here on a family friendly show. But this idea of sort
I'm
of
sorry,
dodging.
You call it praise. I called it crap.
Has other names, which, you know, at Summit by C, we can actually call it what it is.
Oh, whatever. But, yeah. I won't use the other S word.
Right. So we dodge and disguise the truth. We talk around the issue instead of directly at it. And we serve these sandwiches instead of serving the issue. And that fails to satisfy for a few reasons. First, people have no idea what we're talking about. They can't follow what we really mean. It also weakens the message because we tend to focus on either the first or the last thing that's said. So we're really ignoring the messy middle, which is the whole point of the conversation.
Right. And by the way, for people who don't know what you're talking about, it's the equivalent to me calling Joe into my office and saying, "Hey, Joe, you've been such a valuable part of this team for 4 years. I mean, we've loved having you here. You know, you're really not cleaning the stations the way you should. The operatories are really dirty. They're not really nice. I really need you to clean them up way better. But you know what? You're such a great employee. I have no doubt you're going to get through this because you are amazing." Right? Did I do that right? Did I do a really good crap sandwich there, Joe?
And all I know now is that I'm highly valued and I'm amazing.
Right.
And but that's a crap sandwich. Aren't getting cleaned.
And we do it cleaned. All the time.
Yes.
We do it all the time.
All the time. And I don't blame people for doing it. It's a safe choice. It's a familiar choice. It's the model that's handed to us. And so we end up just, you know, repurposing it throughout our lives. But it doesn't serve the issue. It weakens the message. It's a weak signal. And it weakens trust. Because if you know me, like me, and trust me, just come out and tell me. But by talking around issues and not directly at them, we're actually weakening our relationships in addition to weakening our results. So the antidote to a praise sandwich is a feedback wrap, WRAP, which stands for what and where, reason, affect, with an A, and prompt. And this 4-part plan is a way to have more candid, caring, connected, collaborative conversations where we are not substituting candor for real results. We're talking about the issue. We're doing it in partnership with another person. We're doing it in a way that brings about a sense of agency, a sense of responsibility, and ultimately a sense of ownership over that issue. And it elicits their best ideas and their best interests and not just forces our reality and our view on them. Instead of telling them what to do, we're helping them unlock that value on what to do next. And it comes from them, not from us. And that's one of the reasons why I think feedback fails is because we tend to either talk around these issues or we talk too much at these issues. We overload them. And that's the first fail. We overload and we kitchen sink people. When something goes wrong, when we're finally ready to have that conversation, we throw in everything, not just the trays. The trays are not clean, but you were coming late and you remember you didn't smile at that patient when she left the chair. Right. And so now we're just overloading this person with all the negative stuff that's happened. And that's the first reason it fails.
Man, have I done this to my kids?
I was going to say.
Just a disclosure here. On Sunday at 11:45 in the morning, we were celebrating Purim. And I came home from synagogue and my son is still in bed. What are you doing at 11:45? Shouldn't you have gone here? You didn't do this. You didn't do that. And like we often will do, you throw the kitchen sink at somebody. Yeah. And why are you still in bed? And shouldn't you have gone downstairs and had breakfast? And right. And yeah. And, I'm as guilty of it as anybody.
Yeah, it's drinking out of a fire hose is what it is. You know, try taking a sip of water when that thing is geysing at you. I mean, it's just no way. So people can't process it. Like our brains are not wired to process that much information at once. And so we'll get into some ways to address that. Fail number two, delaying. So the longer the wait, the shorter the memory. And the longer we go from the time that something happens, the action, to the time that it's discussed, the interaction, the less we're able to remember what happened. And that goes for us, the giver, as well as for the receiver. Right. And what ends up happening is we just reconstruct events the way we think they happened, but they may not have actually happened that way. And so that leads to what psychologists have identified as a forgetting curve, which is this idea that right after we learn new things or process new experiences, there's a sudden and steep loss of information, almost 50% in the first 24 hours. And anyone who's ever gone to a training or, I don't know, tried learning a new language or something like that, or a new system at work. So you forget the password or you forget the next step, like after the login key, right? Because you don't remember because it was 24 hours ago. And so the longer that wait, so now over the next several days, the steeper that memory loss. And by the time that almost a week has gone by, we've forgotten almost 70% of what we've learned. So delaying that feedback, also a real fail. But it's not just that. It's also that we, and we were hitting on this before with that praise sandwich, we mislead people with our message. And that's the third fail. When we mislead others, it's not that we do it to be sneaky. It's not that we do it because we don't trust them necessarily. It's because we don't feel comfortable having the conversations that matter in a way that matters. And what ends up happening then is we end up make them think that everything's okay when it's not. We make them feel like everything's on track when it's not. And we give them a false sense of security. It's the ultimate sleight of hand. It's misdirection and it's misleading. Like we said, it's serving the sandwich and not the issue. The fourth fail, why feedback fails so often in so many different contexts, is that we go negative on people. And we tend to focus too much on our negativity bias, the fact that we tend to remember the bad more than the good. And we drill down on that thinking that if we just eliminate someone's weakness, that they'll be stronger. Well, if you've ever tried to ride in a helium balloon, so you know there's two ways to get that thing to take lift. You can either add more air or you can take away some of the drag.
Right.
And just simply thinking, well, I'll fix them by throwing more negative at them and getting them to fix those weaknesses just creates more drag in the whole operation. It doesn't give anyone lift. In fact, it makes them feel more defeated, more depleted than before. And that's not how people get better. People don't get better with a smack across the face. They get better with a hand that's there to help lift them
up. But you don't know until you try, Joe. I kid.
I'm going to say, you know, Glenn, if you keep talking like this, we're going to have to call, you know, Child Protective Services.
Yeah. Dude. I didn't say kids.
All right.
No, but the truth
is, you shouldn't be doing that at work either.
By the way, just joking aside, I keep thinking about you could not have had this conversation of the first four things you described 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years. When I came out of school in 1992 in the workplace I came into, there was no way you could have this conversation because it was so antiquated. It was so, I'm going to use the word, lack of vulnerability, right? Mm-hmm. Because to do what you're doing requires some humility, some vulnerability, some self-attention, some growth, because you're overcoming, for most of us, I'm not going to speak for everybody listening, but for me, if I have to go into a room and give somebody feedback, negative feedback, right? You know, everybody loves giving positive feedback, right? Everybody loves going into that room and telling what a wonderful job that person did. But when you have to go give somebody negative, or God forbid, you have to fire somebody, we dread it. We lose sleep the night before. I used to have to remember my wife and my kids and my family and all the reasons I was doing what I was doing just to be able to summon the nerve, if you will, the courage to be able to give somebody honest feedback or to let somebody go. Like it doesn't come easily for me. And I know for many out there, it doesn't. And just thank goodness that today in 2024, we have the ability to have these conversations. And so we joked about you can't smack somebody. You never would, but there was a time.
Yeah.
There, there was a time 40, 50 years ago where it did occur. And so I'm just glad this is the way we deal with it today, or at least hope to deal with it.
Yeah. And those four things that we've already mentioned, the overloading, the delaying, the misleading, and, you know, the going negative, all that really operates with the dynamics of fear, right?
Right.
But it's the fifth one, honestly, that's the most harmful to progress. And that's the looking back, the fifth fail. Because when we look back on a past that can't be changed instead of out towards a future that we can, we're focusing on past failures and not future possibilities. And that holds people in place. It holds them to who they are right now and doesn't allow them to become the person they might still become if we just gave them the chance.
Can you do me a favor, Joe? Can you give an example? Because again, I know what you're talking about, but when you say when we look back, can you just give a quick example of what looking back looks like?
Sure. So in the case you gave before about the person who's not cleaning the trays, if you only were to focus your feedback on what happened last Tuesday and last Wednesday when those trays weren't cleaned, so that holds a person to a moment in time that they can't fix. I can't go back in time and fix that. What you can do is talk about, and again, you're not ignoring the past. You're saying, look, I've noticed, and this is where, you know, when people who want to learn more about this feedback wrap and how to have those candid, caring conversations, you'd bring this into the conversation. You'd say, look, the trays weren't clean. You'd start with what's happening, but you'd immediately move from the past into the present and into the future. Right. You'd say from there, okay, they weren't clean. Now, let me try to describe what impact that's had on the quality of our patients and the quality of our practice. And then from there, prompt the person to come up with an idea of how they can change that going forward. Well, all right, you've identified maybe some ways that we could do this. Which way do you think would be the most satisfactory, the easiest for us to do? To bring in. And so you're putting control back into the hands of the person most responsible for that improvement and that change. They can't change the past, but they can change the future. They can fix the future. And that's why we want to point not towards the unchangeable, unfixable past, but to the ever-changing and still evolving future. So that's where we want people to look.
So the equivalent of, hey, Joe, you've shown up late twice this week, you were late 2 weeks ago, what's going on, right? That's the feedback. You're looking backwards as opposed to, I noticed you came late twice this past week. When you come late, blah, 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 this is the impact it has on us. It does the rest of the team, you know, and then bring your prompt into it to help us solve it as opposed to just, here's what you did wrong, what gives, mm-hmm. right? Which keeps us stuck on the negative event and they play no role in the moving forward. Hello there, Orthopreneurs. Sign up for the Orthopreneurs 24 Summit now. We took over an entire ship just for us. And here's the thing. It's selling out so fast right now that the room types are selling out. So if there's a particular type of cabin you want, you better get on to opsummit2024.com right now and sign up. And why are people signing up? Because of three reasons. Number one, it's a boat, which means you can bring your team, your family. Yes, there's a kids club. And yes, there's an adults-only pool. Number two, the lineup I have is going to be spectacular. These are not people you're going to see on any other stage anywhere. I dug deep to find the best to help you live your best, most profitable, most productive, personal, and practice lives. And they're going to blow you away. And number three, the type of cabin you want is limited. This is not a hotel where most of the rooms are the same. If you want one with a balcony, they're selling out. You want an inside room to save money? They're selling out. So go to opsummit2024.com right now, sign up for a cruise September 18th to 22nd, and you will have the best CE time of your life. And now, back to the podcast.
I think a good way to think about it is the difference between a conversation focused on blame or contribution. Right. If your goal is just to blame and shame another person into changing their behavior, good luck because people don't change that way. But if you give that person an opportunity to contribute to their own progress, to be your partner in the process of their own improvement, that person will own that change because it's coming from them, not you.
Yeah. And this is great advice, not just in the workplace, people.
Anyway,
listen, I mean, think about how appropriate this is with our kids, with our spouses, with friends. Date, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it might be, there's a different way to talk to people. And again, I've been this podcast caught me at a very, for lack of a better word, vulnerable time because I've really been diving deep into trying to get better at communicating with people in a better way, right? Mm. And so Feedback Fix is, you know, Crucial Conversations is another great book,
yep,
you know, that I've been reading at the same time. Fight Right by the Gottmans, right?
Yes.
Julia and John Gottman, yep, out of Seattle for relationships. Like, right, the theme on all of these books, different approaches, right, that all come together beautifully, different thought processes, let's just put it that way. But it's all about, like, sort of the old saying, you know, however you don't want to be treated, don't do to others, right? Like,
yes.
Like,
yes,
that's really the core on all of this is, how would you like to be spoken to? Mm-hmm. What would be the best possible scenario for how you would want someone to talk to you? Then, yep, why are you doing it differently when you talk, yep, to others? Right.
100%.
And so, sorry for invoking the names of other, you know, I know you never mind other authors who are out there.
They're fantastic. And everyone you mentioned, great, great works.
I mean, just great stuff. And so, yes, I know you've got four tips for us.
Yeah. So we hit the purpose piece, right? That's really important. Having a sense of a shared understanding of what and who you're trying to serve and create. And so who are the people we're trying to impact most? Well, that'd be our clients. That'd be our patients. How are we trying to serve them? What do we need to do to bring smiles to the faces of our patients, right? So these are all purpose-driven things that can create a greater sense of connection, you know, a sense of context. You know, what are we trying to do here? Who are we trying to serve? Another fix would be connection. And connection is, I'm giving you this feedback because I care about you. Not because I'm judging you, not because I'm upset at you, because I care about you. I care about our work. I want this to work. And I want you to make it work for yourself. Another great study on how to unleash that came down to 19 words written on a post-it note. Group of teachers were asked to give regular feedback to their students. And so they gave, you know, the usual kind of feedback, like, good job, nice work, you know, try using a comma once in a while. Another group of teachers gave that generic feedback, but with something else. A 19-word encouragement written on a post-it note, slapped to the top of each of those papers, and it went like this. I am giving you this feedback because I have high expectations of you and know you can achieve them. And they called it magical feedback, and it really, wow, was, because the students who got that 19-word post-it note, 70% of the students who got it voluntarily revised their essays. And of that group, 30% outperformed the group, got better grades on their essays than the ones who never got it at all. Because it really comes down to the bottom line. People don't care what we know. They want to know that we care. They want to know that we care. And, yeah, if we can show them caring in the context of candor, like we talked about before, that's a recipe for connection. Okay. Yeah. So fix number two, connection. The third fix is a really important one, and that's confirmation. You mentioned the positive feedback, and I think it's so important to remember that feedback can be positive too. And again, just a quick reminder of how important that is, comes down to the world of gift cards, actually. So Glenn, if I asked you, what would you rather, a $5 gift card or a $50 gift card, what do you think would bring you greater happiness?
From you, Joe, I'd rather have just five, because I want you to spend the other 45 on your family.
You're so sweet. You're so sweet. What do you think some random
50,
Joe on
please.
The street would rather have?
I'll take the 50.
You'll take the 50. And you would expect that somebody who gets a $50 gift card would have much more happiness than the person who only got a $5 card. But it's not necessarily the case. And what researchers realize is that when gift cards were given just because, for no apparent reason, not a birthday, not an anniversary, not an expected occasion, not an anticipated occasion, but just because, even a $5 gift card produced the same level of happiness as a $50 gift card.
Wow.
For one-tenth the cost, you delivered equal value.
Wow.
And it really comes down to such an important truth. If we give our feedback, positive feedback, just because, and we catch people being good just because, that's hugely affirming, and it confirms what people want to know, which is, do people see me? Do people value me? And do I make a contribution here? And again, in today's age of trying to hold on to talent, trying to attract talent, anyone who owns a business today, especially orthodontics out there, orthodontists who are dealing with churn in terms of their hiring practices, no shows, late shows, right? It's hard out there, right?
And you're just talking about the team.
Yeah.
Late shows and no shows.
The patience. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Butts and chairs. This is a hard thing. What is one simple thing we can do to hold on to our talent? Hold them closer. Hold them closer and affirm what everyone wants to know. Do I matter? And does what I do matter?
Wow.
And it doesn't take a lot of money. Just take some time and intention.
Wow.
The final way that we can put feedback back on track, we can apply that feedback fix, is with greater communication. And I love, it's an old study, but I love the study. Mid-80s, NASA was trying to create more air safety controls for its pilots and for people commanding some of its, you know, its crew. So they put three different members of the crew, pilot, co-pilot, and a navigator, into these flight simulators. And they were trying to, you know, put them essentially through a stress test. What would happen if they simulated a disaster? And so what they found, which wasn't surprising, is that when pilots didn't just go on their instinct and their intuition, but asked the crew, in this case, the co-pilot and the navigator, for their take on what should they do, they averted more disasters. But here's what was more interesting about what they found. Rather than just did the pilot ask for that feedback, the teams that had a history, a cadence of actually having the hard conversations more of the time, that spoke to each other with more candor more of the time, that feedback was shared more regularly and produced fewer simulated disasters. Wow. Than the teams that just had a pilot asking for feedback. It comes down to ongoing communication. Right. Fearless orthodontic practices, fearless organizations, they're places of high trust, but also of high touch.
A lot of conversations.
Where we talk to each other. We have the conversations that matter when they matter, and we do it in a way that makes people feel like they matter. And that's how you have a feedback fix. You have more connection. You have more context. You have more confirmation of people's value and worth. And you have more ongoing communication. And if you do those four things, then all those five fails we talked about before, they're not as much of a failure anymore. Because what we've done is changed the tone. We've changed the tune. We've changed the trajectory of these conversations. They're no longer about the past. They're about the future. They're no longer just about ratings or results. They're about relationships. They're not just about what we do to others, but what we do for them. And ultimately, they look out towards a future that people can change and not a past that they can't. And that's how we get to joy.
Geez, that was like the end of an audiobook. That was like, there's nothing else to add. It's done. You just reached the end of the internet, folks. Joe, I want to give you some feed forward and tell you you're amazing. And in this case, it's true feed forward because I can't wait to see you in September. People, if you, this is just, Joe is amazing. I love every word that comes out of his mouth. And he's just one big piece in a very cool group of people who are going to be speaking on stage at Summit. Please go to opsummit2024.com and sign up now. And best of all, we're going to be on a boat together for 3 days. Imagine that. I can just pick his brain.
There is nowhere to go, nowhere to hide.
You're going to give me so much feed forward about the cruise. It's going to be crazy. Right. But before I let you leave, if people want to learn more about what you do, if they want to learn more about some of the courses you offer, where can they go?
Yeah, head over to joehirsch.me for all things fearless feedback. And I look forward to connecting with you anywhere you do your connection online.
Joe, can't wait to see you. I can't begin to put into words how happy I am to have you as a part of the speakers lineup. And more importantly, to be able to give you a hug.
We're gonna hand you the wheel. Your ship, baby.
As Joe's got the captain in a headlock and Glenn's driving the ship for sure.
We're gonna end up in Newfoundland, I'm pretty sure. But yeah. Otherwise, it's gonna be an amazing summit.
Yeah, it'll be amazing. Anyway, Joe, wishing you a great day, and I want to say thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Glenn.